All right, well, turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading. We'll turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love thee, O Lord my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and his cry came, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. Strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a lengthy psalm, a wonderful psalm. We have in the title to the psalm, in the introduction to it, and let's recall together that this is verse 1 in the Hebrew. It is part of the inspired text. That this psalm was written upon the occasion of David having been delivered from all of his enemies. You'll see, I think, an earlier version of this psalm. Let's talk about that for a moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, you'll have, if you compare them verse by verse by verse, as you know Pastor Geek has done, if you do that, what you'll find is there are a few differences and much similarity between those two passages of Scripture. They're both introduced in the same way, and then there is an immediate slight difference, and then there are some small immaterial differences between the two texts as they are recorded. I will tell you as well that through my study, I've also seen that there is some difference in the Hebrew as well. Okay, it's not just a translational difference. So what we have here, in my opinion, is that you have the original version when David first delivered it, recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and then you have David's own editing of that same psalm as he brought it into the Psalter and made it more suitable for public worship. That would explain the differences between Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22. And that is what I would say would be a believing explanation. Right? And we are unashamed, right, in our understanding that we come to the Bible as believers, as receivers of God's truth, not as judges over what God has said. So that does color the way we harmonize places of Scripture that seem to us or to human understanding to be disparate one from another. It is our duty as Christians to recognize that the Lord has delivered his word to his people, and that he is the primary author of it. What was it? 400 and something times in the Old Testament we read, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. And then we have that same kind of statement from the Apostle Peter and from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, speaking of New Testament Scripture as well. This is the inspired Word of God. As the inspired Word of God, then, listen, it demands our respect and receiving, not our judgment. It judges us. We don't judge it. Now, that's really important to remember. So when we come to a place like Psalm 18 and compare it to 2 Samuel 22, our method is going to be colored by our theory. Our theory is that this is God's word. And so our method of understanding the differences between those two passages is colored by that theory. Second thing I want you to know by way of introduction to Psalm 18 is that it is a messianic psalm. There are things that David says here that cannot be true of himself. It cannot be true of himself. David cannot speak of himself as an upright man. He cannot speak of himself as one who is rewarded by the Lord according to his own righteousness. We know things about David, don't we? We know certain things about David that would prevent that from being said. Let me help you with that with a quotation from Jonathan Edwards. You remember Jonathan Edwards, the American theologian. And it is moreover to be observed that David in the book of Psalms speaks not as a private person, but as the psalmist of Israel, as the subordinate head of the church of God and leader in their worship and praises. And in many of the Psalms, he speaks in the name of Christ as personating him in these breathings forth of holy affections. And in many others, he speaks in the name of the church. Well, with President Edwards, we would say that in this psalm, he speaks on behalf of Jesus Christ. Okay? And that helps us to understand such things. Now, I will say this, and you've heard me say this before, that when we hear David speaking of his own integrity, his own uprightness, and his own righteousness, David can say those words truly about himself, but only in a relative sense. Right? Only in a relative sense, and not in the absolute sense. In the absolute sense, they are true only of Jesus Christ. In the relative sense, God accepts, listen now very carefully, God accepts imperfect obedience in the covenant of grace. In the covenant of works, he does not. It must be perfect obedience, right? 3 by 3. But in the covenant of grace, through Jesus Christ, God accepts imperfect services from us. And we're very thankful that he does through the mediation of Christ. So there is a basic reality that we want to talk about, a theory, a paradigm. When we examine our hearts, is it our desire to serve the Lord? Although we recognize that our services are imperfect and tainted with sin, still are they that which we put forward in such a way that they would be received by Jesus Christ, according to the cleanness of our hands and purity of our hearts by faith? And those are important things to remember as we come to Psalm 18. All right, with that, then, as introductory comments, let me see if I can briefly now, in less than just a few minutes, finish up the psalm. I want to highlight a few things. I want to highlight, first of all, that David says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." I want you, brothers and sisters, to have that as a competent and present and continual profession upon your own lips, that you are telling the Lord regularly that you love him, but that it would not only be a love in lip, but that it would be a love with the depths of your heart expressed in the actions and words and thoughts of your inmost self. We must be about telling the Lord that we love him, and that we love him because he first loved us, that we did not gin up or create that love in our own hearts. It's not possible for us to do that. And the natural man is born hating God and his laws. It must be the work of God upon our hearts. And so we acknowledge that when we tell the Lord that we love him, that we love him because he first loved us. But it should be a regular confession of our lips that we love the Lord. In your private prayer, when you close your closet door, make sure you're telling the Lord that you love him. We have it on wonderful example from the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so let that be our practice as well. David also sees that his safety is all bound up in his union with Christ in that love. Notice what he says. He says, "Thou art my buckler, the horn of my salvation." The horn there, remember, horn in the Old Testament is something that means strength. Strength. "The strength of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Let's talk about that word "so." "In this way shall I be saved from my enemies." Not in gathering up as many earthly props and stays and defenses as I can, but by calling upon the name of the Lord. Verses 1 through 3. Now we go to verse 4, and that takes us down through verse 19. The emphasis that David places here is the emphasis of the Lord's anger at those who would touch his people. And that's why we have this voice of the Lord that is brought forth by David as hailstones and coals of fire. Don't think fire and ice. Think of that the hailstones that are falling out of heaven are fiery rocks. That's really what that's supposed to mean. It's called hail because when hail falls, and I think we know a little bit about that in this area, when hail falls, it falls as rocks from heaven. Sometimes, however, in Scripture, those rocks are burning rocks, and they're still called hail. Okay? So the hailstones and coals of fire, that is, those providential judgments of God, fall upon those who target the people of God. David says, I was oppressed, I cried out unto the Lord heard my voice, and the response of the Lord, his voice was in response, hailstones and coals of fire. He delivered me from my enemy. And I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, that there is nothing upon earth you need to fear if you're following the Lord. Whether that's the overarching government, you hear a lot about that today. Whether that's foreign governments, you hear something about that too. Whether it's viruses or illnesses or pestilence or sword or storms or whatever it is. You are indeed safe in the hands of the Lord. When you cry out unto the Lord, right, in this way shall I be saved from my enemies. How? I called upon the Lord, and David goes on in 4 through 19 to explain that. I called upon the Lord, and what was his response? Hailstones, coals of fire. The channels of waters were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And here we're reminded of what? The children of Israel passing through the Red Sea, right? The Lord split the waters. He discovered the foundations of the world, and the people of God passed through safely. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Let's have that as our present confession as well. All right, turn to the next section, verses 20 through 29. Notice that when David says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. I already spoke to you about him personating Christ in that, that it was Christ's perfection that we're talking about. But the other application that we need to make in this section, and I'll just leave this with you because I want to be brief here, is that these judgments of the Lord, they are made in righteousness and uprightness. You would not expect the Lord to deliver those who are profligate sinners, would you? You would not expect to see deliverance go to such quarters as that. Now the Lord condescends in mercy, and even to sinners such as you and I, he condescends in mercy and delivers. But when David says things like, it is because of my righteousness and the cleanness of my hands and the uprightness of my heart, what we must do is roll that back, not to that I can earn my salvation with God, because you can't. We don't want to go down that road, but the road we want to go down is that the judgments of the Lord are always according to uprightness and truth. They're always according to righteousness and truth. The Lord judges that way because that's who he is. And so we should not expect then that those who stray far from him, who are bound up in their carnality, we should not expect to say, oh, well, looks not like the Lord is blessing them. Beloved, those aren't blessings that fall upon such as those. Okay? And then verses 30 through 44, David speaks of God's attributes, his way, his word, his immutability, his strength, and his faithfulness. And in all of those things, then, David anticipates God's continued blessing and care over him. Take courage, brothers and sisters. From verses 30 through 44, because in that God is kindly and mercifully disposed toward his people, he will not change in that. Sometimes his temporal judgments, his fatherly displeasures come upon us, but that doesn't mean he's given up on us or has turned away from us. It means that he loves us. Be assured of those things. That's verses 30 through 44. And then the last section, "The Lord liveth and blessed be my rock," is how it begins. The psalm closes with the messianic nature as it comes through loud and clear. Notice that he subdues people under me. He's already said that those who didn't know me shall do obeisance to me. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Now that never really happened to David, but it certainly does with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.